It's going to be a wonderful day. Would you stand, please? Hallelujah. My. It won't be an awful long time. Less time than a lot of us live. We're going to be standing on the other shore. This life will be over. Temptations will be over. Devil will be bound. You'll have your celestial bodies. You'll have made it. You'll have salvation accomplished and be in His presence forevermore. My, 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 what a wonderful time it's going to be in the everlasting kingdom of God. Our precious and wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your manifold grace. Thank You for Your love and Your long-suffering and Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessings to us. And now, Lord, we would ask that You would make Your people free. We pray, Lord, Thy blessing upon Thy word tonight, and upon the minister that would bring it, and upon all Thy people that would hear it. May Your children be free in God. Give them Thy word, for the truth shall set Your people free. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Please turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 23. I've entitled the message this evening, Bound in the Spirit. Why? 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 Bound in the Spirit. Why? The book is Acts, chapter 23, and the verse is 12. We'll start with verse 11. We'll read 11 through 13. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. Now these more than 40 men bound themselves. They bound themselves under a curse to themselves, that God would curse them if they did not kill this heretic. And if they broke their vow, these people bound their spirit till they were not free. They were not free. They couldn't go out and have a meal with somebody. They couldn't go out and be happy. They were now bound, and they bound themselves under a curse with a vow. They could not drink anything, and you can't go long without something to drink. They could not eat nor drink. They could not relax. They could not be happy. They had one purpose, the murder of Paul, and that must be accomplished with all dispatch, with all speed. They could not dilly-dally long, for they were not able to be long without liquid and without food. They must accomplish the matter. They must bend every effort, work diligently, be on that path, and hunt him down and kill him. Now, these people were bound with chains. Six chains that I want to mention. The first chain was an unwillingness to hear and consider the message of the Apostle Paul. They were bound until they were unwilling to hear and consider. The second chain that bound them was assuming that it was God's responsibility, that God had laid upon them the responsibility to look after His work. that if there was a man out there that was doing something contrary to God, that it was their responsibility to do something about it to stop him. They did not allow God to be God of the Apostle Paul. They took upon themselves the responsibility. The third chain that bound them is the chain of fear. Fear of what Paul would do if they did not kill him. The fourth chain that bound them was a chain of animosity, which led to hatred. And the fifth chain was hateful spirits from Satan that came to join them in their animosity and hate. And the sixth chain was the chain of an oath. They bound themselves with an oath. They made an oath before God that they must fulfill. And all this was done with a motive to help God. Now, in like manner, many Christians have bound themselves. Those spirits are bound. They are not free. And in this move of God, we see that God has come to set his children free. We have over and over again, we're hearing testimonies. Jesus has set me free. God just came and set me free. We are bound. How did we get bound? It might pay us to know how we got bound. A wife cannot be free if she will not accept her husband. She cannot be free. She takes the responsibility upon herself of his authority. She cannot allow him to run the family. She cannot allow him to rule over her as God had ordained. She cannot submit herself to him because she has not accepted him in that authoritative position that God placed him. She has not accepted the authority of God in him. She disdains him. She looks at him. He's beneath what she feels she wants or should have. And not accepting him and failing to understand that authority is not based on how high of a pedestal you can put somebody on how wonderful he is or how much more than you they know. They've allowed themselves to be bound until they can accept his love. They can't have a freedom. They've got to be the Holy Ghost for him. They've got to correct him. They've got to teach him. They've got to be on the case. They've got to watch themselves and the family. They've got to watch everything because they will not accept him. Now, this is the work of the devil. And a lot of wives are in that position. They think, well, if he was the pastor, if he was as wise as the pastor, if he had the Spirit of God as the pastor, then I would accept him. You didn't marry the pastor. And that man, a husband, God didn't just say just that obey your pastor, but obey your husband. The authority is placed in the husband for the husband's role. It doesn't make any difference if he's wiser than you or not. He still has the authority. When you go in to get a job, you may work for somebody younger than you with less experience than you, but he still has the authority. Now, I know a woman who all her life could not really have the love for her husband she needed because she pictured this handsome, tall Adonis marrying her. But since she found this sawed-off leg fella, who was really a marvelous fella, in love with her, really in love with her, her pride couldn't resist the fact that he adored her. And so she married him. But because he wasn't everything that she had dreamed of, she never accepted his love. She bound herself, and you know what happened? She robbed herself the entire married life. She robbed herself. She could have opened her heart and accepted him. He's a marvelous person. But his legs weren't long enough. and she robbed herself. Now, in Romans 7, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Know ye not, brethren, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband." Now, being bound to the law here does not mean that she can't be free in her spirit. She's bound in the law of marriage. Now, a wife bound to her husband in authority can be free in her spirit. And so it is in the church. You accept that Jesus Christ as authority and the pastor's authority and the elders and all the other authority in the church, you can still be free in your spirit. But you can bind yourself so that you're not free, and you can decide it's their authority that's keeping you bound, when it's not their authority at all, it's your hang up. A Christian cannot be free if he does not accept his pastor. You can't be free. You just can't be free if you don't accept him. Well, if you have to do the job of a pastor for him, worry about him, you have to critique him, try to balance him up on the side with everybody. You have to. I've seen people that after the pastor preached, they have to run off everybody together and get them all corrected every time. That'll wear you to death. You know? Try to, to fix the work out. You know, if God gives somebody to lead, you've got to accept that guide. If you hire a guide, then you should follow the guide. And if you're not going to follow the guide, you shouldn't hire the guide. You shouldn't be under a guide if you don't want a guide. A Christian cannot be free if he doesn't accept his elders. And if he doesn't accept his church. If he says, "Well, I've got these doctrinal differences, and I've got this, and I've got this," and he can bind himself till he's not free, then you know what? He can't have a proper relationship with his elders and with the church. He's bound. He can't accept their love for him because he doesn't love them, or because he doesn't trust them. So he can't trust their love and trust for him. And many Christians find themselves bound because they bind themselves. But we can accept our pastors. We can accept our church. We can accept our husbands. Amen? Now, a Christian cannot be free if he will not accept God's grace and God's love. There are many, many millions of Christians that are not free, that are bound, because they will not accept the love of God. They have bound themselves by a lie of the devil. They have bound themselves by their own feelings of self-condemnation. Now, I think God has a right to make his own mind up if he loves you or not. Why should we make up his mind for him? Who are we to counter his word? He says, "I love you." You say, "No, you don't love me." That would make him a liar. If God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, why shouldn't he love those who are already his sons, who he already has a covenant with, who he's already given a newborn spirit and given the Holy Spirit to? The earnest of the inheritance to come, he's already given you a ticket, a one-way ticket. Now, why should we decide he doesn't love us when he's already given a one-way ticket to him, when he's already asked us to marry him? Can't you see the enormity of the error? This is really important, that we accept God's love for us. You see, in Greek there's a word filial. Jesus said concerning Lazarus and John, who he loved, filial, having a strong affection. As an Adamic man, he had a real special affection for John and for Lazarus. But when he steps out and uses the word agape, agape love is not based on the value of the object loved. This is the kind of love that a mother has for her wayward son. He went out and joined the hippies, He's disappointed the family. He has said bad words against them. And he's run off. But that mother loves him. He came out of her womb. She changed his diapers. She cared for him. She took care of him when he was growing up. She loves him. And it's not based on the value of the object. Because there may not be much value seen. God gives us a love that overrides the value. And God says to you to love your enemies and love others. Love those that despitefully use you. He's not using the word filio. He doesn't expect you to feel an affection for them. But he's asking you to love them with a sacrificial love that does not look at the value of the object. How it appears in your sight. Now, when we can accept God's love, we can praise Him. And then our spirits are free. The word praise comes from a Latin word meaning price or value. So when we praise Him, we are acknowledging His value. I praise you, Lord. You are acknowledging value. What price would you put upon Him? How much would you sell Jesus for? How valuable is He to you? Isn't He worth loving? Isn't He worth trusting? If you're going to trust Him, can't you trust His love for you? When He promises you He loves you? Willis said tonight that she listened to a tape and wrote down from the tape so she would have it on record. Well, she's got a book right here that says that He loves us. He's engraved our names in the palms of His hand. He said, can a mother forget a sucking child? No. He said, I can't forgive you, can forget you. I'll be with you always to the end of the age. I love you with an everlasting love. He's promised in the Word of God. Why then do we doubt Him? Can't we trust Him? If we can't trust Him, if we can't trust the book of books, what can we trust and whom shall we go to? I think that we need to bring ourselves to a place where we will never, never question God. If God says, I love you, that's His business. How do you know He doesn't love you? What proof have you got? If your child is spanked, does that mean you don't love them? Well, if you're going through a chastisement of God, does that mean He doesn't love you? Well, if you don't feel worthy, does that mean He doesn't love you? That doesn't mean He doesn't love you because you don't feel worthy. That's His business of whether He loves you or not. You can love your tiny child even though it doesn't know much, blunders, does things wrong. You can love them. That's your business. You decide. And God has already decided. He loves us. A Christian can't be free if he won't accept himself. We must not reject any of the sons of God. We have no right to reject a son of God. Now, the scripture says that we're not our own, we're bought with a price. We have no right to reject ourselves. You have no right to reject yourself. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Jesus. So you leave His property alone. You're a son of God, you leave that property alone. Paul said, I judge not myself. We really need to come to grips with this. Because this is a universal lie of the devil. And I'm talking about Christians binding themselves in the spirit so they cannot be free and wondering why they're bound. They look at themselves and become a god to themselves. And having usurped the position and authority of God, they stiff-arm God away, call God a liar, and decide that God doesn't love them after all because they have made an overriding decision about themselves higher than God. Well, now, if you're so bad that God can't love you, that even He can't love you and He is love, then if you're that bad, what makes you think you can override His decision? Isn't it a little incongruous? A Christian can't be free if he won't accept God's word. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You have to accept His word. If His word says it, you've got to accept it. Now, some people out here are making decisions based on what they want to believe, what they want to think, how they would like to see it go, by their emotions. You cannot do that. Your decisions must be based according to this word, the principles of this word. And you must not try to run your life by your own subjective thinking and desires, or you will get into trouble. A Christian cannot be free if he will not accept power over sin. We read in this verse and the next verses, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, thou shalt be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." He's bound. "You think you're free?" He said, "You're not free." "What do you mean you weren't ever in bondage?" "You were not in bondage to any man, you were in bondage to the devil." Do you know many Christians are in bondage to the devil in some areas of their life? They got an area of their life they cannot control. They are absolutely, totally bound, and that demon spirit is running that area of their life. And he's going to continue to run it until you change sides, until you leave the devil's church and go to God's church in your mind and listen to what God has to say and believe God over the devil. You see, everything is by faith in God. Verse 36. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Not in theory, but indeed. That means your deeds shall be the result of a freedom of the Spirit. Freedom from sin, your deeds. "You shall not have any power of the flesh or the devil or the law of sin over you." But you have to accept it. Don't run around to counselors and psychiatrists and everybody trying to get what God's already given you. Just take it. You know, it's a slap in God's face to close the book and run around trying to get somebody to tell you what God already told you. Then the person says, "Well, let me tell you what the truth is." And he told you what you've heard 1,400 times by the pastor and what God is. You've read in the Bible dozens of times. The person says, "Oh, yeah, that really helps." Why should that help? You already had that information. Why are you asking man for something to help you when God has already given you that which helped? I told one man he was trying to get free of this demon. He was going to go someplace else and get free. I said, "Brother, listen, you'll chase that rainbow to the end of your life. Don't hunt for a man who can set you free. God can set you free. Go on your face before God and get willing to be free, willing to pay the price. Quit looking for somebody with magic in their hands. Pay the price and trust in God and believe Him and appropriate and walk in it every day in faith. Test it out. Go out in your life and walk in it appropriating, believing Him. Change sides. There are too many people still on the side of the devil in this area trying to walk free of him. He's got a hook in you, and he's going to keep that hook in you until you break allegiance with him and never give him the time of day again. It's like these girls that have had some relationship with an unsaved man, and they can't seem to get free. He calls them up on the phone, and he talks for an hour and a half, and then she's hooked again. She keeps trying to get free. She writes him a letter and then says this, but she won't hang up on him. She won't cut it off. And she wonders why she keeps getting ensnared. "Well, I tried, dear counselor, but he called me again last night and I just did it." "Did you listen to him?" "Oh, yeah. I talked to him for an hour and a half." Counselor goes, "Oh, I told you to hang up on him." "Well, I know, but just couldn't do that." I don't know what it's going to take to get into some people's head that you've got to take a stand, or you're going to be bound. You can't ride through Indian territory all the time and letting them bind you up if you want to be free. Pardon the analogy, but most of you know what I mean. Crude analogy, I'll have to admit. But now, a Christian cannot be free if he won't accept the power of God and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got to accept that. And a Christian can't be free if he decides to be bound. You decide to be bound. Like we heard tonight, Elijah said, "Lord, kill me, for I'm not better than my fathers." And as soon as I heard that phrase, "I'm not better than my fathers," I know who gave that to him. Why should he be trying to say, "I'm not greater than my fathers"? I'm not greater than something. That's the old spirit of the devil coming. Truth was, he was greater than his fathers. But that was beside the point. You see, there was a spirit that tries to down us. There's a spirit that comes to try to say, "Well, you're nobody, and people with this, and you can't be anything, and this, and you're not worth anything, and you can't do." And you listen to that, and you begin like Elijah. Got so bound, he wanted God to kill him. He was way off the track. Elijah was way off the track. Are you afraid to say amen that he was off the track about Elijah? Well, he was a man of God. He couldn't be off the track. He was way off the track. God didn't want to kill him. Jezebel wanted to kill him. Would have obliged him. All he had to do was walk up. He wanted to die. She would have taken care of that. She had her soldiers out looking for him. But you know, many Christians have decided to be bound. They feel like, "I am a mess. I have been given over to the enemy. I cannot do anything. And I have a right to be bound. And nobody's going to unbind me. Can't unbind me because I am this way." Well, as long as you champion that demon, you'll be bound. As long as you're going to believe the devil and mouth the words of the devil, you will stay bound by the devil. If you really want to get free, you better walk away from him. You better cut that bind. You better call him a liar. You better start claiming for yourself the position of sonship and freedom. When you feel all that damp feeling, you should say, "I rebuke that damp feeling. That feeling of unworthiness, worthlessness is of the devil. This feeling I'm not going to get anything of God is the devil." How do I know? God is always faithful if I will believe. And I'm now going to turn and say, "Yes, Lord, I am your servant. I am your son. I have a right to cash checks and against the bank of heaven with the power of attorney to use your name. And I'm going to cash one right now and write it, freedom, in the name of Jesus." And I put it at the teller at the window. Say, "I want freedom. I have a right. I want anointing right now. I want your power upon me." If more Christians would dare believe God, they could walk in the power of God. A Christian can't be free if he loves the sin that binds him. "I want to get rid of the devil, but I want to keep the feeling that the devil gives me when I sin." You can't do that. "I don't want to eat the pie because it has too many calories, but I want all the taste of the pie." You cannot do that. And that's what many Christians are trying to do. They are gulping down great, big, enormous pieces of pie, saying, "Please take this pie away from me. It's going to kill me. It'll make me too fat." You don't want it? Put it down and leave it alone. Do you know many Christians love the demon that binds them? Now, they wouldn't consciously ever admit that. But that feeling that comes from him, they love that thing. Not conscious, it's a demon, but they love that thing. And as long as they love that thing and are flirting with that thing, they are bound in the spirit and can't be free. But we can be free. We can decide that if God's word says you shall not do that, we will not do that. We will turn from it, set ourselves against it. Label it. A Christian can't be free if he refuses to change his life. If you're going to keep on living like you're going to, and you get every excuse, "Well, yeah, but, well, I can't, but." If you give every reason why you cannot be free, you can't be free. If you get every reason why you have a right to be worthless and nothing and bound and fearful, you will be just that. You have to give God, you will always rise or sink to the level of your affirmations. A Christian cannot be free if he doesn't submit to the authority, the system, the rules of God. Galatians 5:26 we read, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We cannot be he can be a stable hand, and he can be free, because he accepts his position and he accepts his authority. But if he doesn't accept it, and he's always griping and fighting against it and crosswise to it and upset, he's not free inside. It's like a woman liberal. She does not accept the position and this world, and she's miserable. Women's liberals are the most miserable people there are. They're always griping, always mad. And the whole view, they don't even want a picture taken of them, they have to put on the mad stance. Even if they're not mad at the moment, they get a look all pouty mad. The whole idea is mad. Now, mad people are not happy people. Feel robbed, feel cheated, angry, rebellious, fighting. I mean, that's a miserable life. They're going to spend their whole life fighting something bigger than them. Miserable people. Miserable. Even denying their own very own natures and trying to be something they're not. Trying to be a man in a man's world. What a miserable thing to be a woman trying to be a man out in a man's world. That's a miserable thing to be. And they have trouble out there trying to be a man. You see them dressed up that way and they look like it too. They don't have the power to turn things. They don't have the strength to do something. They stand around when the man does it. They can't do the same thing. They dress up. They even look silly out there dressed up that way. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. If you're free, you won't have any trouble just submitting and being his servant. And if you are called in the Lord to be a servant, you're really a free man. If you submit to him, you're free. Your spirit is free. You can do anything you want because his will is your will. You can do anything you want. Anything you want. Drugs won't bind you because you don't want them. Alcohol won't bind you because you won't want it. Cursing won't bind you because you won't want it. But the man who tries to go out and be free of himself, do anything he wants, he gets bound by every sin. Every demon on the block will be binding him. You can only be free when you're willing to submit to the whole thing and accept the system. Wives can only be free when they submit and accept the system. Church members can only be free when they submit and accept the system that God sent up. 1 Corinthians 7:22. A Christian cannot be free if he won't open his heart and mind to God and won't shut his heart and mind to lying spirits. A Christian cannot be free if he lives in legalism. And Galatians 5:1, we read this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. That means freedom from bondage, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. You were once under a bondage of a law, but now be free. How can you be free from the law? By being in tune with him, so the law has no effect on you, because you wouldn't want to disregard it anyway. For example, there is a law, do not murder. It's not binding me because I don't want to. The law has no effect on me. It has no power. on me. It has, and not under any cramp, not to murder. Because it's not in my heart. But if I don't submit to that law, I mean to that in my heart, then that law, I want to murder, but the law is keeping me from it because I get put in prison and that law is binding me. You can be free by having the same mind of God. By submitting to His Word and say, Lord, anything You want is what I want. There's great power in decision. You know, you can decide something and then be happy with it. You can be miserable until you decide, yeah, I guess I will accept that. And when you accept it, you're happy with it. Just by deciding to accept it. If you accept whatever God wants, whatever His will is what you want, whatever the pastor wants to do in the church, that's fine with you, that's what you want, then you're free. But if you cannot, and you're crosswise to that, you are bound. And many Christians are bound, and they bound themselves. Jesus Christ didn't come to make people bound. He put wives under husbands, children under parents, people under the magistrates, although they're not perfect, and the church under the pastor and under the elders, and then did not expect them, and put them all under Jesus, and did not expect anybody to feel bound. Expect everybody to feel free and have a freedom in the Spirit and happy and rejoicing. And you see, He expects us to accept. A Christian cannot be free if his spirit is bound with a lack of forgiveness, a spirit of blame, a spirit of criticism, a spirit of fear, unwillingness, lethargy, any of those things. You can't be free. If you're criticizing, there is a demon that's bound you. You get a spirit of criticism, you are bound by that thing. Just like a man who has to have a cigarette, he's bound by tobacco. And after a certain length of time, he can be down in an opera house where he can't smoke, and all of a sudden, that thing came upon him, and he's got to have a cigarette. And what happens? He'll leave right in the middle of something going on that he paid tickets to see, paid for, go outside, you see him outside smoking, missing part of it, because he's bound by a habit that he can't control. If you get a criticism of somebody, you can't love them. You can't reach forth. You look at them and there's a criticalness. You're bound. You're bound by that thing. You're not free to open up. You're bound. And God wants to have His people free. But we have to come over on God's side. Totally. There's too much, well, how do you do it? Not living over here, not feeling like you're feeling, not with you. Well, I think this, well, I think, well, he was still wrong, well, I can't help it, but I, as long as you insist on being judge, being God, you can't get free. You have to be willing to let God be God and let God be judge and get out of that business and come over and leave him totally up to God. And you got to take a stand against the enemy in that area. A Christian can't be free if he won't be one with his brothers and his sisters. If he won't speak the same things. If he insists on being one with them and speaking the same things his way. Now, I want to read you a passage in Job 42:10. Job had trouble with some of his brethren. You know that? He had trouble with them. And as they were accusing him all the time and saying that he was sick because of his lack of faith in God and lack of righteousness and so forth, you can well imagine that he was building a resentment toward them. A barrier was being built between Job and them. Pretty hard not to. But this scripture says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. He turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. He'd been battling them, rebutting them, when he began to pray for them. He turned his captivity around and he was free. He was free. What some of us need to do on the basis of this scripture, instead of continuing to rebuttal and resist and set ourselves against that one and keep insisting, say, I try to forgive him, I forgive him, but I can't forget, and all of this, and I still feel hurt, is because your mind, your soul, you have set yourself, you have rebutting him, you keep bringing up my, but I am still right, and he's still wrong, and he still hurt me, and I've forgiven him, but I'm still right. As soon as you quit being God, and you start praying for them, not with them. No, Lord, you just forgive that mean old, but you come really and say, Lord, help that person. I want them to be helped. I don't want them to be hurt. And you start praying honestly for them, and God will take away that bondage, heal the hurts, and get rid of that thing that you have held for so long and couldn't figure how to get rid of, although you've forgiven him a million times, you think. You start really honestly praying for him, and the day will come, and you'll be released from that thing, and you will have fulfilled the commandment of God, and you'll love him who once you couldn't stand to look in the eyes. Now, since this is a part of the blood covenant requirement, I suggest we really take heed to this thing and find the Bible way of solving this problem that you can't seem to solve in the natural. A couple more points before I close tonight. You see, I want you to stop a minute, if you can't be free in the Spirit, and stop and consider who God is and what wonderful things God has done for you. What has God done for us as a church? What's he done for you? How wonderful, you say, well, not a whole lot. Well, let's stop and look at it in this light. What has God been to you in the light of your broken promises, broken covenants, your lack of holiness, I'll say our holiness, lack of holiness, in the light of our prayer, whatever it's been, would you really like to put your last 10 years prayer list, post it? The light of your witnessing, would you like to post that? Every day, either blank or you say you're witnessing, who you witness to and how much. Your faith in God, your dying to self. Every time a trial comes, you write down, I died to self or I did not. Would you really like to post all that? Yielding to his call, every time he's called, did you yield? Yes or no, you write that in. Obeying his word, every time you were confronted with his word, you're up against doing something that was contrary to the word, did you obey the word or not? You have to put a yes or a no. Reaching out to others, in the light of your sin, all sins, how has he been? Has he been resentful, revengeful, bitter, unforgiving, harsh, or has he been wonderful? I mean, it seems to me that in light of all that, if he's been wonderful, that we should be able to have a free spirit toward him. Why should we be bound toward somebody like that? Knows all about you, about us, and loves us anyway. See, God knows us, and yet he loves us. That's wonderful. God's been hurt. He's been grieved. And yet he's loving. He has kept his covenant even when we broke ours. He's anointed us after we have failed him. Right after we fail him, he hauls off and anoints us. He's not given up on us, even when we give up on ourselves. And we are the most merciful and benevolent and defensive of self. And we give up on self, and he hasn't given up on us. We have accused ourselves, but he hasn't accused us. God's wonderful. He's past finding out. Scripture says, let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. Now, I'd like to close by saying this. If you have bound yourself in the Spirit, I suggest that we get unbound. Get our spirits free. See, God is moving, and he wants to set us free. And so many are becoming free. Free in this area, but that doesn't mean you're free in all areas. And you get up and testify, I've been set free. Don't just say, no, I've arrived. stop and say, well, good, that's one area that's checked off. Now, what other area is there? And begin working on that one until you say, now I am free in that one. That's why every so often people get up and say, I am totally set free. The person says, Father, I heard four times before they've been set free. What happened? Another area. And another area. And now it's another area. One day we're going to all be free if we keep getting free. We're going to be free in all areas. It's important to be free. God wants a freedom of the Spirit. He's going to do something in this body when we get totally free in the Spirit. Free with one another. Free with ourselves. Free with God. Amen? Free to receive anything God tells us. Free to receive from one another. Free to receive from the pastors and counselors and elders. Free, just free inside. So you're relaxed inside. There are people that are kind of bound when I come up. Well, pastor, authority. Authority doesn't bind you. You just bind yourself. Just because a supervisor's up here, goes in, well, I get tongue-tied when I walked in and all that. He didn't do that to you. You did that. It's your fear. He didn't transmit anything to you. It's not his fault. People say, well, he must be out of over control because I feel all controlled. That's your problem. That's not mine. That's what you did to yourself with the devil's help. Because I preach the same message to you all, and some of you don't feel that way. It's how you receive it in the grace of God. If you decide that I don't love you, and I am this, and I am harsh, and I am this, then you're going to feel bound. But if you decide that I love you, and you don't mind getting your compass corrected, and your ship headed right, and you think it's a blessing, well, then you can be free. You know, you can go in, and you pay somebody to analyze. You pay somebody to go over your books. What are you expecting them to do? He's going over your books to see if he can find a mistake. You pay a person to try to find a mistake because you like to be without mistakes. Huh? You pay a doctor to check you over. Why? To see if he can swing bright on you? To see if there's anything wrong so you can get it corrected. Now, why should you feel bound in your spirit when you go to a doctor? Well, he's going to find something wrong and say, or whatever. You see, there's a freedom in knowing that if he finds something wrong, he'll be able to correct it and you'll be better. He's not there to condemn you. That bookkeeper is not there to condemn you. The doctor is not there to condemn you. Your pastor is not there to condemn you. Jesus is not here to condemn us. We're here to save. We're here to lift up. We're here to build. We want to be proud of each person. We want everybody to do the very best possible. We're for you. We're behind you. We're under you. We just want to help you shine for Jesus. Nobody needs to be free. I mean, bound when you can be free. Well, I must close. I didn't have opportunity this afternoon to really get this message and work it over. But I trust that being brought just in as crude way as brought, that it will have put truth in your mind again and will cause you to say, you know, that's right. This is no beautiful homily tonight. It couldn't put this in the Hall of Fame. But it could be worth $1 million to you if you'll take it and live by it. If you'll just say, you know, why have I resisted so long the truth of God? I am not going to any longer let the devil beat me in this thing. I am not going to be rocked anymore. I am going to quit binding myself. I am going to be free. And if you decide to be free, and you put in, you start doing some thinking. Do some thinking. Look at the areas of your life. Make decisions on them. Go back to the principles. You know them. Follow the principles no matter what you might feel. Do not go by feeling. Well, I just feel that God doesn't love me. Well, then that's a lie. And you are feeding a lie that came from Satan. And so then you say, I feel that God doesn't love me, but I know God does. So the feeling came from the devil, so it's a total lie, so I'm not even worried about the feeling. It means nothing to me, because the feeling is not true. I know he loves me, and I rejoice in that. See, you've got to take this kind of an attitude. You've got to walk by the truth, and the truth to set you free. There are some of you I'm going to close by saying this. There are some of you that are really bound in relationships to each other, oftentimes in the marriage. and you really need to get that taken care of. And tonight, some of you husbands and wives ought to come down to the altar together, hand in hand. And you ought to come down and you ought to make a decision. Let's go down and get set free. Now, not come down in your present state of mind and then expect some miracle to zap you and then go back in the present state of mind. But to make a decision that you are going to build all your communications and your attitudes and your life with one another based on the principles of freedom in God's Word. And you're not going to allow yourself any longer to have these barriers between you. But you're going to be free. You can be free. If you want to be free, and you take this book and this Word and decide to carefully live by it. Judge everything you do by this measuring line. And live to this book and throw away every thought contrary to it. Do what this says and you will walk free. You can take a stand and you can just say, Satan, I see this area and I'm taking this stand for God and I reject you and all your works in that. And in this area and I reject you and all your works in that. And you go through these things and really reject them deep inside. You don't have to have a million hands laid on you. You don't have to go through any kind of feeling. You just have to come to grips and really make an in-depth rejection of that thought that came from him and really mean it. It's not the words and phrases and things done under emotion that counts. It's what a person does consciously and says, I have been wrong in this area. I am now going to change my whole manner of life and thinking based on a conviction of the truth of God's Word. Well, I now turn. And from this time on, I am going to pursue this course of thinking and life. And I'm going to do this because I know that's truth. And you can be set free. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that. You reject the devil and take God's light and say, Lord, now I accept your light in this. And I expect you to help me be free and walk in the freedom. You will be free. The devil may tempt you. But if you just stiff arm him on the basis of God's word and say it stands written, you will be free. Amen. God bless you.